Hey, what's up, everybody? It is Logan Chartrand with Hotshot Archery. It's October 23rd, and I am on the phone with Robin Parks. Robin, you are on your way back from somewhere in Illinois. Is that right?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, on my way home from just a quick afternoon hunt after work, and it's getting to be that time of year. So, you know, if I could get away, I'm going to do it, and I don't have a Missouri tag, boo-hoo, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, we talked
Illinois
about how you already filled that buck.
And, we had a pretty decent hunt, but didn't see any big bucks anyways, not this evening.
So you are where, I mean, I don't expect you to give up GPS coordinates or anything, but where at in Illinois are you hunting around?
It's southern Illinois, so, you know, kind of the, if you know where St. Louis is, it's pretty much straight east, and it's a little south of that, about an hour and a half.
Okay, so, I mean, you said you were heading out for an afternoon hunt. I know we were talking earlier, and you're like, I don't know if I'm hunting. I know it kind of depends on what the weather is going on. So when you say you're heading out, I mean, you're committed to this before you even leave the house. It's not like it's a quick, let's just grab your pack and go hit the stand for that last prime hour of light. You got a little bit of a haul to get over there, huh?
Yeah, we kind of, you know, one of our buddies, Billy Wheeler, lives over there. And we're always talking, of course. And it was kind of a thing this week. If I could get away from work in time, I'd have everything with me and would get over there and hunt with him. He ran the camera for me this hunt. But yeah, pretty much I'm riding around with all my hunting stuff everywhere I go right now. So yeah.
And that was kind of the reason we wanted to try to get together when we were talking earlier. Just there seems to be like there is a lot going on. I know I've been doing some running around getting prepared for season, talked about how you filled your Missouri tag and you were heading over there and just some of the differences that we've seen. But also, you know, when we were talking today, I was like, really, you're going to head out hunting? It's like blowing 30, 40 miles an hour out there. It's crazy windy. It doesn't seem like the best time to drive that far to go hunt. So wanted to just kind of get a quick recap of what you've been seeing, because again, there's stark differences. My hunt last weekend could be summed up in one word, and that's just bullshit. I mean, I saw some turkeys. That was cool, but you were seeing a lot more action, and like everybody thinks, oh, the rut's on, the rut's not on, or it hits all at the same time everywhere. So wanted to just see a little bit about what you're seeing. Maybe I can live vicariously through you from what I'm not seeing and just kind of see what the differences are from a couple hours apart where we're trying to hunt and do this stuff and just how the deer are acting different.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't talked to a lot of people in the last few days to really know what's going on for them other than you. And, you know, like you said, your hunt last weekend was kind of a bust for you. But usually this is the time of year where I take a break and just take a deep breath before, you know, Halloween gets here. And from Halloween to Thanksgiving, I'll pretty much hunt every single day. But I mentioned Billy earlier, and he lives over there. So, you know, he's out just about every day. And he's been seeing quite a few big deer and lots of deer. So I've been trying to get over. This is my second hunt in the last week. Now, last week, I had an unbelievable afternoon hunt where I lost count of the deer that I saw. It was over 30. And
holy shit.
And I'm not even, this is no bullshit. There, half of those were bucks, and four of them were big. So, there was some sparring going on. I probably saw four or five different sparring matches. They weren't fighting, you know, just kind of feeling each other out, and saw five or six bucks work the same scrape, and just a pretty, pretty darn neat hunt. And I did actually pass up a couple bucks, one of which I think you had made a comment on my social media about what you would have done if you'd have been there.
Oh, yeah. That
I mean, it was a pretty nice deer, and I didn't shoot it. There's nothing wrong with the deer, but I mean, there was two deer in the field 70 yards from me that were bigger that I thought were going to make it over to me and be in range. And that didn't really happen. But so that was last week. Now tonight, well, it a little bit different hunt. Because it was so windy, we decided to go to a different spot. Wind was wrong for where I saw those deer last week. So we actually went to a new spot, used the wind to our advantage, and put a new set in. And by set, I mean, you know, completely went to a brand new tree and put ladder sticks and a hang on up. And it worked really well because we drove our side by side right to the tree, put the stand up. We got up and got belted in. There was a doe 50 yards from us and CRP feeding around. So that'll show you how the wind can help you a little bit. And
so you hung and then hunt the same afternoon. You went in there earlier, got the two stands up because you guys are setting everything up for filming. So you got two stands set up, got back out there and then, or got back out of there, I guess, and then got back out, climbed in the stand and already had
it
action.
It wasn't even that. Like, we put the stands up and Billy jumped in the six, his side by side, I mean, and drove it a couple hundred yards away and then walked back. And I was already climbing up. So, I mean, it was literally hang it, got in and hunted. And just that fast at about 4 o'clock, we already had one deer around us. And it was just so windy, you know, there's no way they could hear us. So.
Right. So where you were set up at, I know that if anybody follows you on Instagram or Facebook, they've probably seen it. You were set up in it looked like a corner, or you were at least on some sort of split in the terrain. You had CRP on one side. It looked like there was some picked corn or a partially picked corn field, and you were in a tree line in between them. How did you figure out where you were going today? I know Billy is scouting and everything, but did he have kind of another spot picked out? Or once you all realized that the wind wasn't going to be great, what was it about wherever you were set up tonight that made you want to pick that spot?
Yeah, that field is in our choice was based on past experience and of course trail cams. We've been running one camera on that field, and there's one buck in there that has probably 11 or 12 inch brow tines. Ooh. So that right there kind of says, hey, let's go see if we can see him. But really past experience there in the wind direction. And you're right, we were pretty close to a corner. It was a fence row, CRP on one side and a partially picked cornfield on the other. And I said it was a little different, and the reason it was a little different is about an hour into our hunt, combine showed up. It started combining. So,
oh, no. Was the corn already
so it was one of those deals like, okay, let's sit here and see what might get pushed to us. And we did see some deer, and it's kind of neat because we got to see some deer step out into the picked part of the cornfield, watch the combine run out of the field, but then come back out in the field and relax, knowing that, okay, that's just farm machinery. We're okay. That's kind of neat. That's the first time I've ever seen that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess on one hand, I'd be cursing the guy, like, really right now. But I have to say, I mean, a couple years ago, the last buck that I actually got with my bow was on a night where the reason I went out is the guy across the road was picking corn, and I didn't have the best conditions. I know, like, at least here, when I left around 4:30 or so this afternoon to go pick up my son, I walked out and I was like, this weather is bullshit right now. It was like 78 degrees. It was super windy. The leaves weren't falling yet. But sometimes you have those nights that if they're getting the corn out, that's where I want to be, because I know right now, I think that's a big part of why I'm not seeing much. We're just starting to see some scrapes that are opening up in north central Missouri. I mean, like, we went out on Sunday morning. I hunted for a few hours. It was super foggy, like a soupy, just dead wind. We didn't have anything. I actually thought it was going to be a pretty good morning. Went out after that to move a stand around, and we were just seeing, like, that morning, some of the scrapes had started to open up from the night before. But you're out there. I mean, you guys saw so many deer the week before. What are you looking for? Because, again, I was shocked that you passed the deer that you passed. Is there something in particular that you are looking for in a deer if you're going to shoot another one right now?
Well, I think, you know, if I would have just been in a stand and that deer came along by himself and I didn't have my eyes on a couple other bigger deer that were fairly close, I probably would have shot him. So in this case, it really was just the fact of the matter was he wasn't the biggest deer even in my sight at the time. So, and, you know, I can't discount the fact that I've already shot, you know, one of, if not the biggest deer I've ever shot in my life last month. And so that was in the back fresh in my mind too, you know, like maybe I can be a little more picky than I normally would be. And there's, I'm just really lucky that some of these places that I get to hunt with Billy over in Illinois, there's just some really, really nice deer on a lot of those properties. So I really have the luxury. I think I would call the luxury to be a little more picky. And, you know, if I don't kill another buck this entire season, I'm perfectly fine with that after the one I shot last month.
Oh, for sure. So. Yeah. What is something like an Illinois out-of-state tag cost for you? Because I think that's where I'm like, man, it's kind of hard to be picky if I'm dropping several $100s to get a tag. What is it? I mean, am I way off base there? I've never even looked into what it might cost to get an archery tag over there.
Well, I started to say, I wasn't going to bring it up. I started to say, actually, it was $500 worth of non-resident fees was fresh in my mind, too, and I didn't. I mean, I was really literally thinking, is that buck right there $500 worth? And then I looked at the other ones and I'm like, well, I know those two are, you know, so it was actually the opposite. It wasn't like, oh, I spent right at $500. I need to make sure I kill something. It's more like, okay, I spent $500. I'm going to be a little bit more picky with that $500.
And I'm assuming you guys are hunting some sort of private ground that Billy has access to for you guys or something. It's not like it's one of those, this is the only time I'm going to be over here in this area and hunting this place. So, you know, I might be able to see all these same deer over again. Is that right?
Yeah, it is right. It's ground owned by some of his family members. And it's not like it's managed, you know, just for deer. It's just farm ground. But the hunting's fairly restricted. And I don't have free rein by any means. I mean, I'm his guest. And, you know, I can get over there quite a bit depending on his schedule. And he's got to be with me. And I'm, you know, really lucky to have that situation, lucky to have good friends willing to give up an afternoon of hunting to film me. chances are very good that I'll see that same deer again. Never know, it might even be tomorrow afternoon because the wind's going to be right for that stand again.
Right on. Did you notice anything different? I know when you went, and I don't remember, I don't think it was 2 weeks ago. I think it was sometime in the middle of last week or early last week when you went out. We had that cold front going on. It was really kind of ideal weather. It's the type of weather that you'd go out and you'd be kind of shocked if you weren't seeing deer move around. Did you notice anything different today, even though we're getting a little bit closer to that time where they're starting to get a little bit more antsy and move around just a bit? Was there any difference in activity or how the deer were acting that you did see tonight versus a week or so ago?
Well, tonight we definitely, the deer that we saw were, it was a small handful of deer. I would say we probably saw six deer. And none of those were bucks, and they were all right before dark. Again, we're not sure if it had anything to do with the combine or if that was just, you know, the movement for today. I really don't believe it has anything to do with the wind because I've had some of my absolute best hunting days when the wind's been blowing 25 or 30 mile an hour. So I never let that factor too much into, you know, my decisions. But
really,
I will say this, when the sun dipped below the tree line, I was scrambling to get a jacket out of my pack. I mean, it was noticeably cooling off, you know, like in a hurry this afternoon. So,
oh, for sure.
It certainly wasn't as good as it was last week or 10 days ago. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot that plays into it. I'm not particularly a moon phase kind of guy. I actually go more off of, I'll look at things like moonrise and moonset time more than that. I do think that cold front that we had pushed through had a little bit to do with things and maybe getting things to be a bit more active earlier than we would normally see. I'm interested, though. I want to go back. You mentioned that some of your best hunts are 25 to 30 mile an hour winds. I think most of us are keeping our happy butts at home thinking, I don't really want to be in a tree whipping around right now, much less I don't know how my bow's going to shoot in 25 to 30 mile an hour winds. How did you get to that point? I mean, what was it that is, was it just time and going through the suck of being out there and then realizing, hey, this can be pretty good? Or what is it that gets you out there when most of us are still sitting at home?
Well, I think what really taught me that, okay, maybe it doesn't matter if it's windy, was going all the way back to my college days. We would go out of town for the weekend and, you know, we'd be sleeping in the back of the truck for the weekend. And I mean, if we were going to go through that much trouble, we were going to hunt no matter what was happening. And I can remember just vividly a couple hunts up there in which, you know, I felt like I was like bear hugging the tree, just, you know, to not get thrown out of the tree. And there was one day where it was blowing like that all day long. And I saw, I believe it was 48 deer in one day. And it was in a saddle on a ridgetop. This is in the woods. So this isn't deer that I was seeing 200 or 300 yards away.
Right.
And it was crazy, you know? And so like, I just remember that being in my mind. I can remember saying to myself, well, maybe the wind doesn't matter. So now, you know, if it's a day that I've planned on going hunting and it's windy, I'm just going to do what I planned on doing. And it just so many times just turns out that it's just proven itself to me that it just doesn't really matter if it's windy.
What do you think it is about that? I mean, I'm no weatherman. I don't know if it's windier when we have higher pressure. And generally, I do tend to see better movement when we've got pressure above 30 pounds or whatever it might be, or 30 inches. Do you think there's something to, well, it's windy, so we might as well keep moving around? Is it a security thing that they're doing? Have you noticed anything that might cause them to act differently in the wind and be more active?
I would like to pretend that I know the answer, but I just really don't. All I really put into it is a deer's got to do what a deer's got to do that day, whether that means they got to eat, whether it means, you know, something to do with the breeding cycle. And, you know, we're not there yet, obviously, but soon we will be, where bucks are on the move looking for does. And, you know, I don't think that a windy day is going to stop a buck from looking for a doe, for example. And, I just think a deer just does what a deer does, and it doesn't matter if it's windy. You know, a lot of people talk about, well, if it's windy, they can't hear. If it's windy, they can't see, so they're not going to move. But, I mean, deer live out in that, you know? I mean, I just don't think it affects deer in a negative way the way some people.
I mean, it's kind of like us. If there's shitty weather, we're probably still going to go to work that day. We've still got things that we have to do. We're probably going to be where we would be regardless of that, barring any sort of like crazy weather circumstances. When you guys were out today, did you see any new sign? Like, I know from the time I was last out there, which was probably the first weekend in October, I think, to this past weekend, we started to see a lot more buck type activity. The bigger rubs, the rubs that weren't just about getting the velvet off, they were starting to show up. You mentioned that you saw some scrapes. Was there more sign, at least, even if you weren't seeing the deer, or was it about the same for you guys so far?
No, there's definitely more buck sign, and I've noticed that. I noticed that today. Like, we got up in this stand, and like I said, it's brand new stand. We hadn't hunted it there yet this year, and I mean, we could see big rubs in that CRP, big rubs, you know, with binoculars, and around even my house where I live over in Missouri, even though I don't have a buck tag right now, I'm still trying to keep track on what's going on, you know, anticipating being able to hunt here in a couple weeks. And the number of scrapes that has shown up just in the last 4 or 5 days around my house is ridiculous. And rubs also. I spent a couple hours the other day moving cameras around and getting them put on scrapes, even though I can't hunt over there. You know, that's going to really give me a look at most of the bucks in that particular area. If I've got several scrapes covered there. And we're starting to do that with our cameras in Illinois, too, starting to move them around and get them on scrapes.
Yeah, that's what I did over the weekend, too. I had one camera out, and I was super excited. My parents went up a couple days ahead of me and sent me some pictures in this area that I had my camera. They're like, there are rubs all over. You're going to have great pictures. I guess everything must be happening at night, because when I went to check the camera settings, I had night pictures turned off somehow. I don't even know how I got to that point. So I had like a picture of the three does that I've been seeing quite a bit of and one little 3-point buck, all these massive rubs right in front of my camera, and didn't get a single picture of anything. But I did the same thing. I pulled my camera out of there, grabbed another camera, and I started setting them up on these scrapes. Because like you're saying, I think right now, even though I'm fully anticipating still getting nighttime pictures, I mean, we've got corn up across the road. We've got beans in across the creek. They have really no need to be where we're at other than bedding and maybe some staging. They're not hitting the acorns. There's still all sorts of white oak acorns on the ground. But I think hitting those scrapes this time of year, they're going to start, they're already establishing their territory. They're going to start wanting to know who's around. They're visiting them more. I mean, one, I came back to my dad. We were moving a tower stand. We've got youth season coming up. So I was getting everything ready for my son. And I came back to my dad. And I was like, those sons of bitches. He's like, did somebody steal something? What's going on? I was like, no, these damn deer put a scrape right on the trail to my hang-on stand. So I've got this stand that kind of follows along the eastern edge of this ridge along a creek bottom that we've got. And my stand's probably 10 or 15 yards up into the woods from the edge of this pasture, this little wooded creek bottom. And I'm not kidding you, right where I always cut into the woods, where I had the four-wheeler parked when I was checking the stand a few weeks ago, they had one of the biggest scrapes, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. I get my camera set up. And then I realized what I haven't actually seen before in a scrape was the tree that they normally use for their licking branch. It was rubbed to crap. I mean, they just had shredded this tree. So I'm really excited there. And then my other one's not too far away. It's probably only 50, 60 yards away. But I figure between covering those two scrapes, like you mentioned, I should get a pretty good inventory of any of the decent deer that I haven't actually laid eyes on yet, have only had pictures. I should be able to figure out, are they coming through here at night, or are they filtering back through here on their way to bed? Are they going out in the evening? What's happening? So I'm pretty stoked to get up and check the cameras. This weekend, we've got one final weekend to get everything set up, get guns sighted in, and get ready for youth season. So that's what we've got going on. I don't even know if I'm going to bow hunt this week, because I want to keep this area fresh. I don't want to dive in there. Like, everything's just starting to get going, and I don't want to be pushing anything out of the area by doing too much activity. With your stuff on scrapes, are you looking for a particular pattern? Are you looking for a couple days at daylight, or what, when you get a picture on those scrapes, what's going to make you want to go in there? Or do you even hunt the scrapes? Are you just doing that for inventory?
I typically do not actually hunt the scrapes that I'm monitoring with cameras. I do have one particular spot. I just call it a hub scrape, and that's not anything really biologically technical. That's just what I call it, because on this particular property, there's a spot that it's kind of central to the property, and I put a mock scrape in there 3 years ago, and the number of bucks that used it was astounding. And now they've kept it up almost year round for the last 3 years. I do have a stand 40 yards from that scrape, but what I'm really looking for is just to know what bucks are there right now. And it's okay if they're nighttime pictures, you know, like just to know what deer are around. But for me, here's the key. I try to put as many cell cameras as I can out on scrapes, because in real time, I'm starting to get pictures, and all of a sudden here, sometime in the next 7, 8, 9 days, all of a sudden there's going to be daytime pictures on those scrapes. And like, that's your indicator. Get out there if you can, because bucks are on their feet in the daytime.
So how much notice, and I know your whole situation's a little different, how much notice do you generally want before you're heading out? I mean, are you at this point right now, are you going back out hunting as long as you have a decent wind regardless, or are you waiting for some pictures to come through, some sort of sign that shows what's going on? Or is it just right now is the time that you're just stand time is more important than what you might or might not be getting pictures of?
Well, right now it's a little different than my normal, because if I was focused at home in Missouri, I would be staying away waiting for daytime pictures. But I'm not hunting at home right now. And where I hunt in Illinois, because it's farm ground, we can have stand sites that we're just hunting food sources in the evenings. And, you know, we're just hoping to see deer coming out on the food patterns. And they still are over there. So a decent chance that we can get on a nice buck food patterns over pressuring them. So it's a little different. At home, we can't do that. So if I didn't have a Missouri buck down right now, I would not be hunting until I started to see some daytime pictures popping up.
So a lot of that, just a matter of the type of ground that you're hunting, the way you can access it, where the deer are going to be and when they're going to be there, kind of plays a role in that. What is your focus? And I mean, I think we're getting to the point in the year, we've done a lot of talks about, you know, trying to make sure we have at least an episode every couple weeks here, but with the rut getting ready to start to heat up, and we're getting to that kind of magic period for all of us, at least here in the Midwest, for deer hunting, just through maybe even Sunday, kind of what would be your plan? If people do hear this, I'm going to try to get this posted up as quick as possible. What are you focusing on? What's your plan? What would you be, and knowing that we don't know what everybody's situation is, but what would you be telling people for advice on just your setup and when you're out there, when you're trying to get out there, anything at all for advice for somebody who's trying to hunt right now?
You know, for us right now, and what's the date again? Like the 23rd?
Yeah, it's the 23rd.
For us, for the next, I'm going to say 5 days, first of all, we keep watching our cameras, looking for daytime pictures of bigger deer doing rut stuff, whether that's scrapes or traveling. But while we're waiting for that, I think the best thing that anyone can do right now is try to stay low impact, meaning easy to get to stands that have the least amount of impact on all the deer. Because, you know, you mentioned it too, and I think it's perfectly smart for you to not screw up that place that you have set aside hoping Jack can shoot a nice deer, right? And we're doing the same thing. And when we start, so 5-6 days from now, which is going to put us right before Halloween, that's typically when things change for us. And so we kind of shift into more travel corridors, and we're actually starting to look for traveling bucks. Bucks on the move, in other words, not just bucks going to a food source in the evening. But back to what you actually asked me, I would say right now, low impact is the absolute best strategy for now.
Yeah, and I don't know that I could overstate the value of that. I've seen it over the last few years when I've been really focused. I had mentioned something earlier in the season when I was just starting to head out and bow hunt that, you know, patience is one of the hardest lessons that hunting still tries to teach me every year. You see this great sign. I mean, I've got some really, really good sign where I'm at, but I don't feel like it pays right now. Just because you're seeing that sign, be cautious. Know that it's probably not happening during the daytime very frequently. You might occasionally see them here, but I think it's really important to tell people, you know, don't just go crashing in on some of these hot spots or where you see it. Still stay back, stay to the outside. If you have the time, maybe some people don't have the time. If it's the only chance they get to hunt, I would say go do whatever you think is going to make you most successful today. But I really look at the season more as, you know, a war than just a single battle. And I don't know that right now it's worth trying to win a war for screwing up the rest, or win a battle for the rest of screwing up the war there. So staying out, finding those travel corridors, finding the scrapes right now, and starting to look for when the bucks are moving between areas and not just getting up to head out to feed. Any other advice, any tips that you would give somebody who is looking for some good motivation to get off the couch and go hunt in these super windy, warmer than normal temperatures, other than what we've covered?
Well, you know, probably should preface this whole conversation on a lot of things that I've said so far about what I'm doing is because I'm hoping to shoot a nice buck right now. Like, does are off limits for me now. I'm all about shooting some does, but that for me now, that's going to have to be like later in the season.
Why is that?
Well, for me right now, if I shoot a doe, I'm taking away one potential doe that might attract a buck when he's on the move later.
So I'm not crazy in feeling that.
It's about, again, staying low impact. Shoot a doe, that means you got to go get it out and more disturbance. And I just, you know, we want to keep everything as low impact as we can right now. But back to what I was getting at, you know, if someone is just happy to shoot a deer, whether it's a doe or a small buck, dude, like, by all means, people, deer are on the move now. I mean, so yeah, you should get out there. I don't want to give people bad advice if their goals aren't the same as mine. And, you know, like, you get ready to take Jack on the youth hunt, right? What, you know, if he is happy with any deer, of course, that you're going to get out there and shoot, let him shoot whatever he wants to shoot. Everyone's going to be happy. Everyone should be happy with whoever they're chasing.
So. I might not go quite as far as that. Luckily, I mean, he is a great shot. He's been a great hunter. In fact, you and I were just talking about it. I want to have an episode with him actually coming up as a subject matter expert. We've been getting lots of questions. So thank you to everybody who's emailing and messaging questions. And we just got an email address set up today for more specific stuff there. We'll get to that. But I want to talk to him. We've been getting a lot of questions about taking kids hunting. And Missouri's youth season is, what are the dates? Probably the 2nd and 3rd or something like that. Or, yeah, it looks like not this coming weekend, but that first full weekend in November. So he's super stoked, but he's already got a couple deer at this point. He is really, he tells me going into the season that he's all about, he only wants to shoot an antler deer. So I want to make sure that I get him on recording is trying to say that so I can go back and play it to him after the season. Because the very first thing that walks by, he's going to be like, ah, Dad, I want to shoot it. I have told him that there are a couple little bucks that are off limits. His first couple deer were both button bucks. And not that I think it impacts anything. I'm right there with you. Shoot whatever the hell makes you happy. If it is legal, I'm not going to judge somebody. I'm not hunting for the reasons that they're hunting. They're not hunting for the reasons that I'm hunting here. But we do have a couple. I feel like he's getting to that point, even though he's only 11 this year. I told him, I was like, you've learned about some of the deer hunting. You've sat with me for a few years. You've got to kill a couple now. Now it's not just about killing it, but it's about the other parts of deer hunting, the joy of maybe just watching a deer walk by and knowing that it's there. So we're going to try to limit it. I don't want him to shoot some of the year and a half old bucks that we have. I think there are plenty of other deer, but on the same thing, if he wants to shoot a doe, absolutely. But I'm right there with you as well with the antlerless deer. Where I'm at, I'm not seeing a ton. You have seen more in your two sits over in Illinois so far this year than I have seen in the last several years when it comes to unique deer. So one, I don't feel like I've got a lot of does, but I'm in that same exact boat of this is that doe that these bucks are coming to look for. I know that this doe group happens to bed in this particular area where I'm seeing this sign. Why do I want to go shoot the mature doe right now and take that away? And now suddenly I got to go find a new spot for here in a couple weeks when I'm on vacation to try to get on a buck and maybe only get one that's just passing through versus having that live bait basically right there in front of me as well. So lots and lots and lots of stuff going on. Anything that you're doing to prepare for Missouri's firearm season, even though I'm sure you'll be hunting with a bow. I'd be shocked if you said, yeah, I'm actually going to take a gun this year.
anything that you're doing say, to what I'm doing that? To prepare for that is shoot my bow every few days.
So nothing really is changing for you as far as from Missouri to Illinois. It's get out there when you can get out there. And again, I think go back to what you were saying, the reasons that you're hunting, what you're hunting for. Don't take, you know, don't stay out of the woods if you're trying to shoot a deer. If this is your time, you're going to be able to do that. But maybe if this was the year that you're thinking, I want to be a little bit smarter about things, I want to be a little bit more patient, now is that time to maybe show the patience. And unless it's something that you would be extremely happy with, I mean, for me, that's where I'm at. I am holding off. I mean, it's going to have to be a very, very nice deer. In fact, this weekend, I don't think I'm going to go hunt at all. I just want these woods to chill out for a bit. We've only got about 65 acres or so, so it's not like we've got a ton of ground. We've had dozer work done in the last few days. They cut in a new creek crossing for us. They've been working on the pond. I'm sure, hopefully, by the time we get back up there, the corn's out, but I'm pretty much done. We've got the stand set up. We got everything moved around, and I'm really just hoping to stay out of that area until I have the time. But if you don't have that luxury, I'm very, very blessed for the second year here, and I don't even know how many years you've been taking off damn near the whole month of November, but I've got that week that I can go bow hunting. So it to me, it's more about the patience game than just jamming in there. But if you can't afford to, or you know, you really need the meat, we had a deer roast from last year's deer tonight for dinner. So if you're looking for that meat, wouldn't blame anybody. You are going to start seeing a lot more action. Maybe sit closer to those scrapes. They're probably not coming through there a whole lot in the daytime. After rain, I think, is usually a pretty good time. That's why I thought maybe last weekend would be a bit better for me. We had a lot of rain going on up there. Saturday, it rained in the evening when I hunted. Sunday morning, it basically rained in the woods just from the dense fog and all the condensation on the leaves. But I thought maybe getting in and rechecking those scrapes. What I didn't realize, though, is the scrapes hadn't really started to open up to the point where they were regularly checking them. So we are starting to see it. It's going to heat up. Try to chill out with the rut is on. You might have some deer in your area, just like anything. When you were in high school, the boys didn't all get horny at the same exact time. So y'all might see a little bit here, but the rut's going to happen at the same time. We are still probably, as I look, I would say we're a good 3 weeks probably from the rut, but I think pre-rut, I'm really hoping is going to hit the week of the 4th through the 8th. That's when I've got my vacation set for. But if somebody were looking to maybe take some time off here in the next few weeks, is there anything that you would say you look for? I know you're just go hunt whenever you can get out and hunt, but is there anything that you would be looking at weather-wise or temperatures or anything that would make you say that if I only had to take off 1 or 2 days, these are the couple days, or this is what I'm looking for to make me say now it's worth, now's the time to say, honey, I'll be home later. I need to call in a favor here, watch the kids for a little bit. I need to get out and hunt. What would that be?
Well, for me, it's a lot that has to do with what has paid off in the last handful of years when I have had the luxury to be hunting just about every single day in November. And what has really shown for me is that somewhere between November 2nd and November 7th, there's going to be about 2 to 3 days of craziness right there. And then somewhere picking up again around the 15th, you're going to have a few days of craziness, and then it's going to happen again around Thanksgiving. And because I'm lucky that I get to just hunt and hunt and hunt, you know, that ebb and flow, you know, one day it's great, and the next it's just sucks. And so I just kind of shrug it off. But if I had to be really picky and say, okay, what am I looking for? If I could pick and choose a few days, I'd be looking ahead at the 10-day forecast, and I would be sticking with high pressure days or clear sky days and cold in the colder days available. Now, colder might mean a high of 60, you know, over the course of that 10 days. That's not exactly cold, but if that's the coldest of the days, chances are that activity is going to center around those days. And that's the way I would pick and choose if I had to just pick a few days here and there to hunt.
So wind is always super important to you. Wind direction, don't go in if the wind direction is wrong. But outside of that, high pressure and the cooler of a period of days, because generally there's going to be some sort of front that caused that temperature to drop there. So if you're looking for it, I think lots of great tips. As always, thank you for sharing your thoughts around that. We could cover so many more topics. And I know as we continue to go along and get closer to the rut and get through the rut, we'll keep bringing you all episodes more frequently just to share kind of what's going on. If you happen to be in the similar kind of area or whatever, maybe you can follow along and get some thoughts or some help for whatever, or maybe even share your stories with us. We would love to hear what's going on in your area, so definitely share that with us. I mentioned that we have an email address. You can still find us on social media. We're not going anywhere there. Instagram, Facebook, search for Hotshot Archery. But if you have questions for us here at the podcast or topics that you really want to hear about, you can email us now at podcast@hotshotmanufacturing.com. You can also go to the website. We've got a link up for the podcast where you can catch the episodes there as well. But we are going to try to bring these to you, you know, every couple weeks. When we have the time, we'll bring them to you more frequently as we get more and more excited about talking about hunting. You think maybe we're excited now, just wait until it starts to get really hot. Wait until I have a few good hunts to maybe share along the way. I get super geeked out about stuff like that. So Robin, just as we're wrapping up here, any parting thoughts, any words of wisdom for the listeners, or anything that you want to talk about with the podcast that's coming up or what we've got going on at Hotshot?
Well, I think you touched on it, but just to really talk just briefly about what you were hinting at is, we're hoping that as the rut approaches, all of us are hunting as much as possible, we're going to throw out just some updates on the activity that we've been seeing. And it might be just a quick call on my way home where we say, hey, you know, this is what's been going on the last 2 to 3 days for me. What about you? You know, our friends have been seeing this, and hopefully that helps some of the listeners just hearing about what other people have been seeing. So that's number one. Number two, there's a sneak peek of a new release on the Hotshot Facebook page. You might want to check out.
Yeah, go check that out. You go to Facebook, look for it. Something that might be a little purple on there, I noticed.
Yeah, purple is the biggest hint right now. A little more to come on that. And looking forward to you talking to your son about what he thinks about hunting and hearing his thoughts. So hopefully you can get that taken care of soon, and I can sit back and listen and enjoy that one.
Yeah,
and maybe sometime in the next couple of weeks you'll get a text that says, hey, we definitely need to do a call tonight because I've got some antlers in the back, and vice versa. Maybe you'll be doing the same text in me, so definitely hopefully we've got some reporting to do.
Yeah, I am super excited for it. I know I'm going to try to stay out of the woods this weekend. Other than we got some gun sighting in to do just ahead of youth season to make sure everything is still good there. I don't really plan on getting out this weekend, but right after youth season, my wife is actually coming up to the farm with us. She'll be taking my son home. I'm going to stay through that week. I'll have the podcast equipment with me up there. So definitely hoping for some great phone calls, even if it's just some misery phone calls about those all day sits, because I'm not starting to hit those until I get to that vacation time. I don't think we're quite there yet where it's worth 12 or 13 hours in the stand. So lots of cool things coming up. Really appreciate, like I said, we've got some cool topics coming up. Had questions come in about taking kids hunting, how to keep them engaged, any sorts of snack ideas, things like that. So want to talk about that. Also have had some questions come in about fitness and working with a great personal trainer friend of mine to do a crosscast thing, I guess is what they call it. But they do a lot of professional training, professional athletes, and got together with him. They've done some stuff with me and with my son in the past and talked about, hey, what about some exercises for archers? We're getting lots of questions about how to stay in shape either in the off season or how to get back into shooting shape for tournament season. So they were really excited about that. Hopefully we'll be able to do that sometime in mid-November, but we are certainly bringing you all what we're hearing. We hear you like the shit, which kind of shocked the hell out of all of us. So we want to keep bringing you what you're looking for. We are doing that. So if you have more show ideas, if you have questions about our products, about what we do, about why we happen to be so weird, or at least why I'm so weird, whatever your question is, there is really no dumb question. make sure to hit us up either Facebook, Instagram, Hotshot Archery, or again, that brand new email address, podcast@hotshotmanufacturing.com. And we'll be able to start to dig in and cover more and more of those questions. So appreciate everybody. I said, we're going to get out of here and we will talk again soon. We're going to keep trying to bring you this stuff as timely as we can as the deer season keeps heating up. So again, thanks everybody. And we'll be back with more episodes soon.